Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.podomatic.com. Well, hello, listeners. This is Luke from Luke's English Podcast. Now, as you know from the last episode, recently my cousin Oliver came for the evening. And one of the things we talked about was this criminal case, which you heard in the last episode. But also, we decided we would record some more of our conversations. And so we decided that we'd play some kind of game, like a word game, really for you to play as a listener, because I've got an idioms dictionary and a phrasal verb dictionary. And so what we did was, first of all, I had the phrasal verbs dictionary and Oliver had the idioms dictionary. And Oliver did is he looked through the phrasal verbs dictionary and he picked out six phrasal verbs, which I had to use. And he wrote them down on a piece of paper. Then I looked through the idioms dictionary and I picked six idioms, which he had to use in our conversation, and I wrote them down. Then we swapped our pieces of paper and we started to have a conversation about the news. And the aim was to try to use those phrasal verbs naturally in the conversation. And what you have to do when you're playing this game is try and identify which phrasal verbs and which idioms we had been given on paper. So it's like spot the idioms or find the phrasal verbs, okay? That's it. That's how the game works. I think you get the idea. You've got to try and spot six phrasal verbs and six idioms in the conversation. Now, I'm going to just start playing the conversation to you in a moment. And what you will notice is that at the beginning, we're just chatting naturally before I start talking about the game. So I should probably help you because the first part of the conversation might be a little bit difficult to follow. Basically, Oliver is talking about how he went to a bowling alley. He went bowling recently and he saw some kids, some young teenagers who were having fun. And while they were bowling, they were taking pictures and video of each other, which they then showed, they then spent a long time looking at. And Oliver was just kind of surprised that how young people these days enjoy themselves by kind of videoing everything. So everything's like a sort of media event for them, because everything gets videoed and photographed and eventually put on Facebook or whatever. So it's just interesting for us to reflect on how when we were teenagers, we didn't have any of these bits of technology. And so life for teenagers these days is really quite different. So that's what we're talking about at the beginning. And I think the first thing my cousin says is, I went bowling the other day, or I went bowling recently. So just to help you with the conversation. That's it. Now you can listen to the conversation and the word game that I play with my cousin Oliver. I hope you enjoy it.
I'm bowling the other night.
Yeah.
And the people on the lane next to us were filming each other. Like they were like maybe 17, 18 year olds, 19 yeah. year olds maybe. Like these black kids, and they were sort of dancing and stuff. But they filmed themselves, everything they did, they were filming. And yeah. like laughing into the camera and stuff, and like you did next, and like yeah. filmed the whole night. And we told them like just sitting around watching themselves and watching yeah. the video.
Yeah.
So it was a f***ing weird, proper video camera it was. Not like yeah. a big one, but a little camcorder.
Yeah.
It's like f***ing weird. It's
what,
like,
it was you a real, mean? You mean the way that young people live now is like yeah. they just do everything on video. It's like
and then watch themselves back, and it's yeah. just this such self-involved kind of
yeah.
self-obsessed thing that's going on.
Yeah, yeah. yeah
rather than just right. doing it, and enjoying it, having banter like we used
they
to.
They actually record that everything has to be recorded. Like they're making their own movie of, yeah. of them,
so
of their
can,
own lives.
They can capture them each every moment, and
they're constantly being filmed. It's, yeah. That's what like young people these days go around the place. Being filmed all the time, they just like have this really self-conscious approach to their appearance and the way they are. They like package themselves as like little products.
Yeah,
you know, like this is my style.
We kind of always did, but yeah. they want to like they want to relive every moment. They want to keep it.
But it's not so much...
It's like they want to own it and have it.
Yeah.
And possess their own past.
It's and, but it's not just that. It's that they can do it too. Like, we were actually... We couldn't do it. The closest we got to was taping ourselves. You know, that was like really cool when we had a tape machine or a video camera. We'd video ourselves doing stuff. And that was like really fun, but very rare.
Yeah, or even writing. It's like, it's just capturing any kind of act. But now just the act of living is...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's pretty, pretty crazy. Right, so you know we're recording.
I can see that now.
Yeah. now... I've just come up with a game because I thought we had a bit more time left on this podcast, so I thought I'd come up with some sort of speaking game. And what I've done is that I've got the phrasal verbs dictionary and an idioms dictionary, and we've just gone through them. We've picked out six phrasal verbs. Oliver has picked out six phrasal verbs for me to use, and I picked out six idioms for him to use. All my phrasal verbs begin with the letter L, obviously, because for Luke. And then all Oliver's idioms begin with... The main word in the idiom begins with the letter M, just because M is the next.
I like M&Ms.
You like M&Ms. You would like some M&Ms right now, in fact.
Maybe that was it.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a chat about something. And as we do that, we're going to use the... We're going to try and use these phrasal verbs and idioms, which we've selected for each other, to kind of just add them into the conversation in a natural way. It has to be natural. If it's too forced, then you can fail. So it's got to be a really natural way of adding it in.
Okay.
And the listeners, what they have to do is try and find six phrasal verbs that you think that we are trying to add in. Six phrasal verbs you think we're trying to add in. And six idioms that Oliver is trying to add into his conversation too. And then when you've done that, I'll tell you all of the phrasal verbs and idioms and we'll explain them.
Do we have to be in the sequence in which they've
been written? Yes, and they have to be given in the sequence in which they've been written on the paper.
Okay. Okay. Do I look at them in advance? Or?
No, you can't do
just
that.
Just the first one, one at a time.
Yeah, just do them one at a time. All right, so what should we talk about?
We can talk about...
sort of what's been going on in the news or something?
We talk about my very limited knowledge of current affairs.
Okay, well, why don't we start with that? Okay, so have you been... Like watching the news at all recently?
I haven't actually.
Really? Okay. How come? What? Why is that?
Because I've been so busy.
Yeah.
And when I'm not busy, my time to escape is on the tube.
Right.
If you'd like to refer to a previous podcast, you'll understand.
Yes, you spend a lot of time on the tube.
And I've been escaping into fiction.
Okay, so you kind of open up a book and sort of lapse into a dream or something.
Yeah.
And just go into like another world. So you're not watching the news on TV.
No. But I'm aware of one or two things that have happened.
Right.
I know of a particularly good news story.
Actually. Really? Okay.
Well, quite an interesting one. Did you hear about the guy in Sweden who was trapped in a car?
No, I didn't.
Have you not heard about
this? No, I haven't heard about this. Guy in Sweden trapped in a car.
Yeah. And this is going to be extremely difficult to drop this idiom into this.
Well, just see how you get on. I've already done one of mine.
And, So this guy in Sweden was driving down a country track into a woods when his car skidded and the car got kind of went into a ditch and the car was covered in snow and he couldn't get out.
Yeah, it snows a hell of a lot up there in Sweden. It just doesn't let up at all, does it?
That's true.
It just keeps snowing all the time. And what happened? So he couldn't get out because of the snow.
That's right. So he couldn't get out because of the snow. And guess how long he was trapped in the car for?
Let's see. 7 days?
No, he came out alive.
Came out alive?
Yeah.
All right.
It turns out that, so he took him out alive.
Okay, let me see. I guess you can survive if you've got water, and with snow he might have had a source of water. I think you can survive for about 8 days.
8 days?
Yeah.
Okay, longer.
Really?
Yeah.
14 days.
Longer.
Jesus. A month.
Longer.
3 months.
No, 2 months.
2 months?
2 months, yeah.
How on earth did he survive?
By drinking melted snow, and apparently he must have, because normally it's 4 weeks, and then you're dead.
Yeah.
Basically, normally.
Yeah.
You know, without any water or food. But
if he's drinking melted snow, then that's water, isn't it?
That's water, that's right. So with only water, without food.
4 weeks.
4 weeks only. But because of the low temperature, he went into a state of hibernation and survived for 2 months.
Because he was kind of hibernating.
Basically, the temperature was low. His body just stopped using up any energy. He just drank melted snow. 2 months and he was pulled out of the car alive.
Flipping heck.
Quite 2 incredible.
Months. That's unbelievable. I can't imagine what it must have been like for him, stuck in the car.
No.
It must have been very difficult.
He would have been...
lonely.
Very lonely, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is extremely difficult to get into a conversation.
No, it's not. You can do it. You just be creative. Let's see. What else has been going on at the moment? I don't know. I haven't really been... It feels like there's been no news.
Well, there was the boxing.
The boxing, yeah, that's right. There was a big fight between two rival boxers.
That's right, yeah.
Or something.
Well, one boxer said that he was no match for the other boxer.
Yeah.
And the other boxer didn't like that at a press conference.
And so they had a fight.
So they had a fight, not in the ring. This one of them was a pundit, so he was commentating on the match. Oh, okay. He ended up, after the fight, having a fight with one of the fighters.
This is all very confusing now.
Yeah.
These fighters are very... It's all about promotion, isn't it, with these boxers? You know, they really sort of just lust after, like, a big news story or something in the newspaper. They're always just sort of really going for some kind of promotional thing, aren't they,
I suppose. That's right. But
and see, what happens, of course, is they're very controversial. And so, you know, when one person criticises the other one, they just sort of lash out at them in defence.
That's right, but normally you lash out in the ring, but in this particular case... They decided to take matters into their own hands and actually fight outside of the ring in a press conference.
Right, okay, so it's... that's almost like a criminal act, right?
Exactly. Well, David Hay is quite famous for giving, you know, lots of chat and talk after the game, and it turns out he got a dose of his own medicine from the other fighter,
right?
Who was also, you know, getting back at him.
Right, David Hay, is that his name?
That's his name.
See, I've got a joke.
I don't know the other fighter's name.
I've got a joke for you. Yeah. What do gay horses eat?
I don't know.
Hey. I might have read that in the newspaper. Or something. I do sort of do like reading the newspaper. It's nice to have a cup of tea and just leaf through like the daily paper, isn't that?
That's right. Pleasure? It's true. It's a routine. It's a morning ritual.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I remember when I used to do that when I was. I don't do it so much anymore.
Yeah.
You know, but now because now it's all digital. So you know, remembering just leafing through a paper is just like taking a trip down memory lane for me.
It really is. Yeah, because now you do it on your iPad.
That's right. You swipe. So on.
Yeah, I see. How do you feel about all the criticisms that Apple has had about its products?
Do you mean the way that they're made?
I mean, for example, the fact that, they managed to kind of convince everybody to buy products that they could get cheaper elsewhere. Do you think that it's, do you think that they're valid criticisms, or do you think that the Apple products are genuinely worth the extra money?
I think they're worth the extra money, really? Because you're buying the software and the hardware.
Right, yeah.
It's, they've changed the world, because what you used to kind of... Well, no, you'd see something interesting, you know, you'd have to make a mental note and remember what that thing was, or you'd have to kind of have knowledge to know about it. Now you can just make that note on your phone, or you can look it up on Google. You don't need to know information anymore.
But you see, this is the thing, that Apple somehow has managed to convince everyone that they're the ones who came up with all these things.
But they made it.
They didn't really come up with these things that you can Google something when you're outside, or, you know, it's not Apple.
They made the experience so effortless.
Okay.
It's about the experience, the user experience. They perfected it.
But I've heard that some of the phones are actually better than the Apple iPhone now. Like the Samsung Galaxy S2 apparently is possibly even better.
Is that according to Samsung?
Samsung, yeah, my Korean student.
Samsung.
No, it's just from reading extensive online reviews of the two handheld devices.
The two mobile devices.
Yeah. I suppose, you know, I guess Apple are just up there, you know, earning money. They're, you know, they just laugh off the criticism, don't they?
Well, when people take the mickey out of them, they're really quite confident.
Yeah.
In their products, just to kind of say, well, look at the sales figures.
You know, you can take the mickey out of us as much as you like, but at the end of the day, yeah, we've sold more flipping iPhones, haven't we?
We've got more cash in the bank than the US government.
We've got cash coming out of our blooming ears.
Our eye arses.
Have you finished?
I have finished.
You finished? Okay, all right. So, crash, bang, wallop. All right, so we finished then. Did you manage to spot the phrasal verbs and idioms that were written down on these pieces of paper that I've got in my hands? Let's see. I think I finished first, so I would say I could probably read out my phrasal verbs first. I think they came in this order. The first one was lapse into something. To lapse into something. If you check the web page, you'll see all of these written down. To lapse into something is like to, you know, sort of drift into a dream or something. Or lapse into a coma. Lapse into a dream.
But it's more like you're defaulting to a kind of familiar way of behaving. So, you know...
But you lapse into a coma, don't you? It's like the idea of dropping down into a different way of being, a different frame of mind.
In a literal sense, but you can lapse into your normal accent as well.
Okay.
You could lapse into...
So it's kind of like shifting into a different paradigm.
Well, it's shifting into a comfortable way of behaving.
Okay.
So you lapse into something. The idea is that it's something that's your usual way of behaving.
I think in terms of frequency with this expression... We would say things like lapse into a coma, right? It's quite a common phrase.
You don't often lapse into a coma.
No, it's true, but I'm just saying the word lapse, not the action. The word lapse.
That's what
tends
it means.
It tends to be used with the word into a coma. I think it's very common. Like if I, just Google that. It's just got lots of definitions.
Do lapse into?
Accidental or temporary decline or deviation from an expected or accepted condition. I've just typed lapse into Google, and the first thing it says is lapse into a coma.
Yeah. So there's quite an amusing one, which is lapse into a comma.
Which is obviously
quite grammatical.
Stupid.
Lapse into silence.
Lapse into silence. I think you'd lapse into a daydream.
Lapse into unconsciousness,
lapse into alcoholism, apparently. In my example, it was, I was talking about Ollie. He works very hard, and then sometimes when he has time off, he just sits and reads a book, and he lapses into a kind of dream or something.
That's right,
The next one I had was let up. If something lets up, it means it stops. And it's usually kind of negative. You know, it just won't let up. This headache won't let up.
It's when something that's been ongoing for a while stops.
Yeah, when something is ongoing for a while, then stops. And we often use it in a negative way, don't we? It just doesn't let up.
Yeah, that's right. Or the rain has finally let up.
The rain has finally let up, yeah. I can't remember how I used it in the conversation.
No.
Anyway, you can listen back to it to find out. The other one was lash out. Lash out. And this is when you, in a literal sense, it's when you sort of strike out with your hand, maybe to try and hit or slap someone very quickly. It's like a very quick, aggressive, maybe defensive gesture with your arm or hand to lash out.
Spontaneous as well.
Spontaneous, like, get off! Like, you lash out with your hand to try and hit someone. And also, sort of metaphorically, idiomatically, it can mean when you say something in a defensive or aggressive way.
Yeah. Well, I never loved you anyway.
Yeah, he lashed out at her defensively, for example. Okay. Next one is really nice, and it's to leaf through something. To leaf through something. Leaf like a leaf from the tree. Leaf through something. And that means to kind of slowly and carefully in a relaxed way go through the pages of a book or magazine or newspaper.
Yeah.
Slowly turn the pages as if the pages were leaves, you know, to leaf through.
Well, etymologically, that used to be the paper or pages used to be referred to as leaves. So
right.
Leaves in a ledger, that kind of thing.
Right, okay, so to leaf through something. It's a lovely expression. Slowly go through a newspaper, for example. And the next one was to lust after someone or something. And lust, we know, is that deadly sin, I think. It's the sort of action of, or the thing where you strongly desire something in a sexual way. But so if a man lusts after a woman, it means he really strongly sexually desires her. But you can also lust after other things. That's where you, like, really, really desire something.
Yeah, you could lust after power. So politicians are also often described as having a lust for power.
Yeah, and I said that the boxers they always lust after publicity, which is why they have these sort of events and things. And the final one for me was to laugh something off. To laugh something off. And that's when, for example, something bad happens to you, or you get criticised, and you just laugh about it as a way of dealing with it. So, it doesn't really matter. That kind of thing, just laughing.
He called me fat, but I just laughed it off.
Exactly. Excellent example. So those are my phrasal verbs. Now, Ollie, what were your idioms that
There was the first one I found quite difficult to get into a story about hibernation in a snow-covered vehicle.
Yeah.
but it was to take matters into your own hands.
To take matters into your own hands.
Yeah.
Okay, what does that mean?
So that means when there's something's happening and it's not within your control.
Yeah.
And then you decide that you're going to take it within your control and you're going to deal with it.
Yeah. So
in my example, there were two fighters who were normally you're supposed to fight within a boxing ring, and they took matters into their own hands and fought within at the press conference.
Yeah. Okay. So another example of taking matters into your own hand might be, for example, when you're out in public. And let's say something is happening on the bus, like someone is arguing with the bus driver and the bus isn't moving. You would say, look, I just took matters into my own hands, and I went and I stopped the argument when we started going on the bus. All right. So take matters into your own hands.
Okay.
Right.
And the next one is to be no match for someone.
To be no match for someone.
So that's when you're in essentially inferior to them, so you're not a match for them. It would be easy for them to beat you in a match. Yeah.
So he's no match for Mike Tyson.
Yeah, exactly. So he might think he's tough, but he's no match for Mike Tyson or David Haye.
So it means you're not as good as someone.
That's
so
right.
Like, you know, Manchester United are good, but they're no match for Barcelona.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I think I can't remember where I used that. I think it was one of the boxers being no match for the other one.
Yeah, I think so. Right.
So next we have to take the Mickey out of. Oh, I think this is out of order actually.
Yeah, you've done them in the wrong order. It doesn't really matter.
No. So to give someone a dose of their own medicine.
To give someone a dose of their own medicine. Wow.
So that's when someone is used to kind of having a certain power or doing something, when you decide to do it to them. So if it was someone who's always being rude, when you're rude to them, you're giving them a dose of their own medicine.
Right. Okay. So medicine
being what the doctor gives you when you're ill.
Yeah. So let's see. What is another example of someone giving them a dose of their own medicine?
In the podcast, I said David Haye is famous for, you know, being rude and giving lots of abuse to people, and the other boxer at the press conference decided he would do that, and he gave David Haye a dose of his own medicine.
Right, okay, all right, fine. I just thought of another example, which would be, let's say, a friend of yours is always playing tricks on you, and he's always, let's say, leaving something for you to bump into, and it's really annoying, and one day you leave something for him to bump into, and he falls over and makes a fool of himself, and so you gave him a dose of his own medicine.
Exactly, if he's a practical joker.
Some kind of office idiot.
And you play a practical joke on them, then yeah, they've got a dose of their own medicine.
They've been given a dose of their own medicine.
Yeah.
Okay, what else have you got?
So next is to take a trip down memory lane.
Take a trip down memory lane, shall we?
Is this a metaphorical idiom?
Well, all idioms are metaphorical, I mean, it's the same thing. Yeah,
yeah, true.
Either they're literal or they're idiomatic.
Yeah.
And so these are all idiomatic, because you don't literally take a trip down memory lane.
But you can literally take a dose of your own medicine. So that's what I thought.
But it's not, because when you use that expression to give someone a dose of their own medicine, you don't actually
took
some penicillin or something.
That's true.
It means that.
Though it would be funny if they did. If a doctor was taking some of his penicillin he prescribed himself,
it's like
he would be taking a dose.
Yeah, you could make a joke. You could make a joke about that. Did you hear about the doctor who got sick and prescribed himself some penicillin?
No.
He gave himself a dose of his own medicine.
You could probably make a joke out of all of these.
Yeah. Okay, what else?
So to take a trip down memory lane. That's where you're just, it's something nostalgic. So
you're remembering the past.
You're remembering the past, but you're enjoying it. Generally,
yeah. So, do you remember the 90s? Come on, let's take a trip down memory lane and go back to the 90s.
Yeah, talk about our university experience.
Yeah, do you remember when you were a student in the 90s?
Vaguely,
really. How was it for you?
It was quite blurry.
Why blurry? You mean not clear?
It was very unclear. No, because in that period of your life, you're really just spending time drinking and experimenting.
You are, anyway.
I wasn't just drinking, I was doing other things too.
Oh dear, okay.
And it was,
best, you know, not to mention.
If you were at university, if you could remember university, you weren't there.
Right, okay.
As they say. So, to take a trip down memory lane.
Okay.
Okay, then we've got to make a mental note.
To make a mental note. I believe you can take a mental note as well.
Yeah.
But certainly to make a mental note. All right. I don't remember you saying that.
I was saying that when we were talking about Apple technology, how it's changed the way that you go through life. And previously, you had to remember stuff. You had to make a mental note.
Right,
but now you can actually just use your...
You can actually use an actual
phone to take a note, and it's with you, and you can look at Google to find things out rather than need to remember them anymore.
I see.
So information has been outsourced, and memory.
Right, so outsourced to our technology stuff. Okay.
So it's to make a mental note.
And so
to make a note is literally just to write something down. So the mental note is really just the act of remembering.
That's right. Of that kind of like, so hello, this is my wife Sandra. Yeah. Hello, Sandra, and you go, Sandra. Must remember her name is Sandra. And then 5 minutes later, you go, what was her name? Yeah. What was your name again? Sorry, Sandra. Of course.
I wish I'd taken a mental
Sandra.
Note.
Sandra.
So the final one is to take the Mickey out of something, which is quite an obscure kind of British saying.
Are you taking the Mickey, mate? Are you taking the Mickey out of me?
So that's when you're making fun of somebody.
Are you taking the Mickey?
Would making fun also be?
Yeah. Are you making fun of me? No, because that's
a phrasal verb, isn't it?
No, to make fun. Make fun. No, it's not a phrasal verb.
Oh, it must be.
Because fun is a noun. And usually phrasal verbs are a verb and a preposition or an adverb. So, you know, to make up a story, for example.
So fun would have to be the first.
Make fun is not any more of a phrasal verb than eat breakfast.
No, breakfast's not a verb, and both make and fun are verbs.
Fun is not a verb. You can't. What's the past participle of fun? I funned a lot yesterday. No.
It's like golf.
Fun is a noun, so it's just like verb noun. So I eat breakfast, I make fun of someone. It's kind of phrasal. It's definitely a phrase.
The Mickey out of something is when you're making fun of something. So you're laughing at someone.
Laughing at someone.
Yeah. So I might to do an impression of someone is often to take the Mickey out of them.
Yeah. So like, I work for the BBC. I'm very important.
So this is now Luke taking the Mickey out of me.
I'm taking the Mickey out of Oliver.
The something is me.
okay.
That's it. That's six.
That's it. That's the end. So that's six phrasal verbs, six idioms for your enjoyment. And I would say that those phrasal verbs and idioms are ones that are commonly used. They're not strange, they're not weird idioms that no one ever says.
If you use them, no one will take the Mickey out of you.
Yeah, true. You just got to use them in a kind of authentic way. Don't just speak in idioms, you know. In English, we don't use idioms like in every sentence, right?
No, but they are very common.
They are very common, but it's not, you know, we're not just using them in every second. Actually, this is very sad, but sometimes when I'm having lunch with teachers at school, we do this stupid game where we have to just speak in idioms. So we can talk only in idioms. It's quite fun. Do you want to try it for a bit?
Let's see if I know what an idiom is.
Well, an idiom is just like an expression that's idiomatic. Yeah. So let's see. Just off the top of my head, you know, if I could maybe just get the ball rolling here.
You're just touching base with me.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just touching base. You know, going forward, I thought that something we maybe should set out some kind of milestone plan, just to kick off proceedings.
I don't want to make a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to create a storm in a teacup.
No, well, no, or open a can of worms. Throw the cat amongst the pigeons, perhaps.
Yeah.
No one wants to do that. No, certainly not. So, what's your viewpoint generally on the state of affairs
in the newspapers?
Certainly, yeah.
Well, it is a can of worms.
It really is. It really is. It's a bit of a nightmare.
It is a nightmare scenario.
Yeah.
I'm running out of idioms.
What about the Sun? You know the Sun newspaper?
Yeah.
It's released the Sunday Sun today, which is tomorrow,
yeah.
Which is their new Sunday paper.
Which is the news of the world dressed up.
Yeah.
It's news of the world dressed up as the Sun.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing, isn't it, again?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was the end of that bit. I'm more experienced at doing the idioms game. So maybe you roll.
You really dropped me in it. There.
Yeah, I did. I threw you in at the deep end.
Yeah.
Whereas I was just rolling with it, just improvising off the top of my head. Okay, I think that's probably enough for this episode of Luke's English Podcast for today. And thank you very much for listening. That's it. Thanks for listening. I think that's probably all we've got time for at this stage.
We can sign off.
I think we'll probably sign off, just wrap this whole thing up now, just summarise that's basically it. That's all you're going to get. We're not really going to be able to proceed any further. I pretty much think we're almost running out of time now.
It's time. You can put a full stop at the end.
Probably put a period at the end of this, full stop this. Time's up, ladies and gentlemen. So once again, I'd just like to say thank you very much for downloading another episode of Luke's English Podcast. I'm afraid this is all we've got time for. So we're going to have to just put a halt on proceedings now. Thanks again for listening. Goodbye, ladies and gentlemen. Bye. Thanks again for listening to Luke's English Podcast. Don't forget that you can email me at luketeacher@hotmail.com.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.